Now, in verse 16, he says, these are murmurers. Now, he's talking about these apostates, and he gives us further identification of them. Actually, you just can't miss it, friends. The picture that you have here is a picture that I think is tremendous. I want to read to you verse 16, and then we're going to come back to this to dwell on it, because here is another great truth that we have in this section. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and that means their desires. Actually, their desires do not have to be base. They could be lovers of good music. That could be the thing. The point is, anything spiritual, anything that relates to God, is entirely left out. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now, five things are mentioned here concerning them. They're murmurers. Two, they're complainers. Three, they walk after their own desires. Four, their mouth speaketh great swelling words. And then five, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. This is the picture that is given to them here. Now, let's look at this. Murmurous means they mutter complaints. That is the picture that's given of them here. They complain about everything. They complain about their own lot in life. They're discontented. They're never satisfied. Have you heard the testimony of someone who's been genuinely converted? I was just looking about, seeing if I could pick up a letter here. I have a whole sheaf of them, but I can't lift one out just now. But we have literally hundreds of letters here. People tell about that they were discontented, dissatisfied, and unhappy with their lot. And then they came to Christ, and all of that changed. Well, the thing is that that is the picture of the murmurers. That's another identification of the apostate. And he's a complainer. That is something else that he does. He complains, blames his lot in life. If he recognizes God at all, he blames God for everything that has happened to him. Then you have here this statement about they walk after their own desires. And those desires actually could be desires that would not be base, as we think of it, as immorality. It would be that which would leave God out altogether. In fact, it could be religious. They could enjoy a liturgy or a ritual and that type of thing and find a certain amount of satisfaction in it. But down deep in their heart, they're discontented. And then their mouth speaking great swelling words. They are great at applauding others. And they say a lot of things that are not true about individuals. I always notice an introduction that's given to me. And I know whether it's true or not. And sometimes they're quite flowery. And when they are, I wonder about the brother whether he really knows me or not. This business of speaking great swelling words, flowery speech that has no substance in it whatsoever and does not actually have the Word of God in it. It's like fuzz and fizz and foam. It's that type of speaking that really has no content in it at all. I think the politicians, I was rather amused listening to one the other night that was being questioned. And he brought in a great deal of modern words that are being overworked today. He talked about a certain program that was productive. And he talked a great deal about that we must do this to help people, you know, that type of thing. Well, when I analyzed it, when he got through, he hadn't said anything. He had just been talking, that's all, and had not committed himself to anything whatsoever. Well, there are a great many today that are in the ministry that talk like that too, by the way. and having men's person in admiration because of advantage. This simply means that they do not look to God, but they look to man. They look to man for their promotion, their advantage. They do not look to God at all. This is something that we've had up before. You remember James had something to say about this over in the second chapter of the book of James, verse 1. Listen to this. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. I went into a church some time ago where I was to preach, and they did not know me very well. That is, the ushers certainly didn't. And so I thought that I would just go in and not identify myself at all. Well, when I walked up, two ushers were busy talking to each other, and they paid no attention to me, and so I just waited, never said a word. And finally, one of them said, you want a bulletin? I said, yes, thank you. And I took a bulletin, and then he said, where do you want to sit? And I said, well, I don't know, just where would you want to seat me? Well, he says, how about taking that seat right there? Well, it wasn't about to take me down front, and there were plenty of seats down front. I'd got there very early. And he was not in a friendly mood at all. So that I never said anything. I just walked on down. I didn't sit down. I walked on back. And then I came out on the platform later, and I looked back at that usher. Believe me, he was white. After the service, he came up to me very apologetically. You know, he said, I didn't know you were going to be our preacher today, that you were Dr. McGee and that sort of thing. And I said to him, I said, well, it really wasn't very important for you to recognize me at all, because, very frankly, I was going to preach here today, and I was going to preach here regardless of whether the ushers let me in or not. But I said, I really think it is important that you usher strangers and visitors to a seat and be very friendly to them. I think that would be important. Now, that's the thing that you find today, and I have noted this, especially in church circles do you find this. I've noticed certain schools. One school will give a man from another school a doctor's degree, something he didn't work for. So that school, in turn, turns around and invites the brother down there that gave him a degree. They give him a degree up there. And so they can call each other doctor from then on. And then they talk about how wonderful each one is. And that's true sometimes of preachers. We go to a place and the pastor there introduces us as some great person, as if we were, and we're not. And then he comes over to our place and we introduce him as some great person. And he may be, I don't know. But the point is that that's the method that is pursued. And frankly, that's the method of apostates. They do not look to God. They are not concerned to hear the Lord Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They're more interested in the applause of the crowd, of what people say. And I think that today's one of the curses of the ministry. And I do not mean to be ugly or pick on my brethren, because there's so many wonderful men, and many of them very courageous. But I was at a certain conference, and a very timid preacher came up to me, and he said to me, do you preach in your church the way that you are speaking here? And I said, why, certainly, why not? Well, he says, why, if I preach that way in my church, I'm confident that I would have to resign. Well, I said, I certainly feel sorry for you, and I think the church is in a very bad way. Why, I said, of course I speak that way. I said, the message that you just heard me give, I gave it in my own church before I came up here. I practiced on them so I could give it to this group up here. I don't quite understand that today, but that does happen to be one of the marks of an apostate, having men's person in advantage, in admiration, because of some advantage they will get from it. In other words, they're looking to man for promotion and not looking to God for promotion. Now, this is certainly a condemnation of these men.